Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi there, Living Waters Church. It's great to be with you this morning. For those of you that might not know me, my name is Kyle. This summer, as a church, we've been going through Galatians 5, 22 to 25. Let's read that together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to just say a quick word of prayer. Holy Spirit, you are the grower of goodness in our lives. Help us to be sensitive to your movement in us as we seek to foster more of your fruit in our lives this morning. Amen. Goodness isn't loud. Sometimes it appears quietly as a whispered yes, in the midst of someone else's crisis. Earlier this year, I asked my dad a simple question about his childhood and discovered a legacy of quiet, spirit-shaped goodness that still bears fruit in my life today. My dad was born in Montevideo, Uruguay, in 1954. 10 days after he was born, his mother fell seriously ill. With several other young kids at home, his family was forced to make a heartbreaking decision. They couldn't afford to keep him. With no family in the area to help, they reached out to the local Mennonite mission. Two Canadian missionaries answered that call. No long discussions, no hesitation, just a quiet yes. Yes to raising a baby that biologically wasn't theirs. Yes to stepping into the midst of someone else's crisis. Yes to choosing goodness in a moment that really mattered. Those two missionaries became my Oma and Opa. They were elderly by the time I came along, so I didn't know them deeply. But what I did experience in their lives left a lasting impression. Their lives were shaped by simple, steady goodness. They made my dad's story matter. They kept him connected to his roots. They served faithfully at the church and even returned to the mission field 4 years later. For another 4 years, with their son in tow. Their apartment wasn't flashy, but it was peaceful, warm, a good place to be. I remember helping my Opa by moving some of his cataloged photos and letters and antiques around. He would always calmly follow behind me, returning those items to where they belonged. Oma was always in the kitchen, humming Sunday school songs and hymns as she made delicious food and brought joy to the kitchen. Their goodness wasn't loud. It didn't need to be. It was rooted in Jesus and quietly poured out, one small act at a time. That kind of quiet, rooted goodness, the kind that changes lives without demanding credit, is exactly what Paul had in mind when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important to remember something here. the fruit of the Spirit is singular. Though we've been looking at each characteristic or virtue separately this summer, the fruit isn't a basket of values or virtues that we can pick and choose which to cultivate. The tree of our life produces one fruit, united and grown from a tree that's rooted in Christ. Love cannot be separated from self-control. Patience isn't detached from kindness. Goodness, real spirit-formed goodness, doesn't grow independently. It grows alongside the others. Gentleness, peace, joy, faithfulness, all of them nourished by the same source, the Spirit of God. And as that fruit grows within us, something beautiful happens. It becomes harder and harder to plot where one virtue ends and another begins, because the growth of the fruit isn't interpreted solely through our actions. It's more about who we're becoming in Christ. With that in mind, let's talk about goodness. Goodness is something that we see in the beginning of Scripture. We read in Genesis that God created everything through his spoken word and in partnership with the Spirit that hovered over the waters of the deep. Light, sky, land, sea, life itself, all created and described by God as good. By design, the nature of creation was perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's how our story begins, with chaos being transformed into beauty and goodness, shaped by the Spirit of God. But we know that the story doesn't end there, saturated in all that goodness. The serpent inspires Eve to question God's goodness with a crafty promise. You will not certainly die. When you eat from it, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Since then, humanity has been dealing with the weight of that knowledge. We've been duped, like Adam and Eve, believing the lie that we can define good and evil on our own, apart from God. This humanistic view of morality erases the concept of sin, and it removes God from the definition of goodness. Good becomes whatever suits us best. Jesus teaches a man in the Gospel of Mark that goodness can't be found outside of God. The man, seeking to confirm his internal sense of goodness, asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asks. "No one is good except God alone." The two have a bit of a back and forth conversation, and the man ends up leaving disappointed because his internal sense of morality was based on his outward action, not on God's character. His actions looked good, maybe even great to some, but his motives were rooted in self-interest and pride. Living Waters, how often have you and I been this man, seeking to be seen as good through our actions, but knowing that the difference between good and evil leaves us on the wrong side of the scale? In Galatians, Paul names goodness as a mark of the Spirit's fruit, using the Greek word agathosune, a term rare in Scripture. It goes beyond moral behavior pointing to a transformed internal reality. Agathosune speaks of a desire made new, a goodness that isn't performed, but produced. A goodness rooted deeply in the presence of Christ within us, reshaping what we want at a fundamental level. It indicates a return to the garden, to who we were made to be, people whose hearts are once again turned towards what is good and whole. So what happens when we feel that inner pull towards something that we know just isn't good? I've been there, and I would venture to say that all of us have experienced that. Years ago, for myself, I found myself journaling, God, what if I don't like who I end up becoming if I give up this desire to you? See, this desire, it felt so central to who I was that I couldn't imagine my life without it. That's what twisted desire does. It confuses what we feel with who we are. It stirs up our emotion. It builds momentum in our lives, and it eventually drives action either towards God or away from Him. And I'll never forget hearing the Spirit's whisper in response to that question. Kyle, I'll never force you to become someone you don't want to be. But my presence will change you for your good. We've all questioned God's goodness. Maybe not out loud, but privately, when the story of your life isn't turning out like you'd hoped, you wonder. A diagnosis, a broken relationship, a buried failure, the grip of an unhealthy habit, or the ache of grief. Maybe even simply a dark season where God seems silent. The world as it is, being full of fallen desire, it has a way of muddying our image of a good God. But Scripture offers us this unshakable truth. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, before your desires changed, before your actions aligned with God's character, before you ever even thought to ask God for help, God's desire towards you was already good. Not vaguely good, specifically, personally, redemptively, for your good. If you're walking with Jesus today, there's a promise that can steady our heart in these moments of questioning God. It's a promise in Scripture. God is working all things for your good. Not because the circumstances or the situations that you find yourself in are good, but because He is. That's why, as Christians, we can confidently say that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. If you're joining us today and you've never decided to follow Him, you've never taken that step, His invitation to you is still open. His goodness is still chasing after you, still ready and willing to reshape the deepest and most secret parts of your heart. That's what makes God's goodness so powerful, friends. It doesn't just wipe your slate clean. It rewrites the entirety of your story. It fundamentally changes the driving force of your life. Where before you were driven by what was good for you, now in community, our desire can be shaped by what is intrinsically good. How does that actually play out? I think it begins with a really simple step. A step to pay attention to our desires, not only our behavior. When you feel that pull towards recognition, retaliation, or self-preservation, pause and ask, what do I really want here? Then invite the Holy Spirit to inhabit that space with you. How might things be different if the Holy Spirit were to want this? Ask him to begin reshaping your desire, not just your decision. Let his work in you drive you to the options that align most with his character. That might mean choosing to serve when no one sees, forgiving someone who hasn't apologized, or walking away from something that feeds your ego but starves your soul. Social media. Pardon me. It looks like journaling about your motives, asking trusted friends to help you see blind spots, and rooting yourself in scripture so God's goodness becomes your frame of reference for what is actually good. This isn't about being perfect. It's about being transformed. And don't be surprised when slowly and steadily your reactions begin to shift. Your motivations become more pure. And your heart begins to hunger for what is truly good. That is the fruit at work. The nature of God's goodness grows in us as fruit as we allow the Holy Spirit to awaken us to God's goodness towards us. We become good by receiving his goodness and allowing it to redefine our lives. His goodness pursues you. And whether you receive it or you run from it, the truth of his goodness is transforming you. The growth may be nearly impossible to discern or perceive. But by God's nature, he is changing you. So the question that we're left with today is this, family. Will you let the Spirit reshape your desires and reclaim your heart? Or will you keep striving to manufacture goodness on your own? The longer I follow Jesus, the more I realize that my job is painfully simple. Trust him and let him work. That's it. Trust and surrender. Of course, simple doesn't mean easy. Most days, trusting his work in my life feels like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. But here's the wild thing. When I do it, surrender ceases to feel like a burden and starts feeling a lot more like freedom. It turns out God's much better at being good than I am. And his desire to make me good is a lot stronger than my desire to do good. Today, goodness might feel like something you just can't reach. Like no matter how hard you try to get your life in order, you still fall short. Your past, whether shaped by your own decisions or the painful choices of others, makes you feel disqualified from ever being defined as good. You think, but Kyle, you don't know what I've done or said or thought. Friend, let me be honest with you. I don't need to, because Jesus already does. And he's already promised that if you'll follow him, his spirit will grow fruit in you slowly, certainly, and steadily. Maybe you've spent your life trying to prove your goodness, keeping the rules, making the right choices, doing all the right things. You try hard, really hard. I get it. I'm the guy who writes 8 versions of the same sermon because I fear getting it wrong. All you want is for someone to notice your effort and to applaud you for being good. Friend, this morning, it's time to recognize that goodness won't come from inside you. Let the Spirit remind you today, goodness isn't a performance, it's a gift. One he's already growing in you, whether you feel it or not. Or maybe you find yourself somewhere in between. You're just tired. Not sure if you're doing well, not sure if you're doing poorly. You know you love God, but life just feels busy. Your spirit feels dry, and your future, let's not talk about it. Friend, can I encourage you today? Even in the quiet seasons, the Spirit is at work. The fruit doesn't always grow where we can see it, and it isn't always a season of bountiful harvest. But we can trust that it's growing. Ask the Holy Spirit today to make you aware of the goodness of God that is chasing after you. And get curious about the ways you're being invited to share that goodness with others. It's my belief this morning that the Spirit wants to impart something new and fresh in your life. And it starts by receiving his goodness and thanking him for his action in reshaping your desires. Let's respond today to God's Spirit at work within us, church. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you that you have tilled the soil, planted the seed, and watered the ground. You've also brought growth and life to the fruit that is in our lives. Today, we declare as a church. Will you please open your eyes and read with me? Surely, your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Friends, go today and bear witness to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And may our God make you worthy of his calling, that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.